like Pippin in Moria.
Don't, are you making them? Are you making them into hobbits?
No,
I thought you were saying Pippin and Meriwether.
I mean, excuse me. I said like Pippin in Moria. They just like touch something and then it.
Oh,
yeah,
that's acceptable.
And then like Gandalf in Moria. Dave is like, stop that.
Okay, fair.
I'm referencing a better movie.
Yeah. And I was like, I'll take 5 15 more of those, please.
Yes.
Do I get 15 more?
Nope.
I get 1.5 more.
Yeah.
Chiss.
So now Dave calls the cavalry and they just are like, oh, okay, Dave, we trust you. We'll come out there as soon as we can. And we'll cut back to Mike with his friends going through the city.
Yeah, that's where they're joking. That's when they're being jerks.
And then one of the guys says, if there are killer clowns around here, then I'm Porky Pig. And then they turn a corner and they see Clown Parade.
Awesome.
No, they have like streamers flowing on everything. You get this whole group of them.
Yes, because they're using a giant vacuum cleaner to suck up all of the pink ball sacks they've made out of the people of the town.
It looks like a parade float.
It really does.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to the longest shower sequence ever. Because having gotten out of the shower, she has put on jeans. And we still don't know what time it is. But I feel so much older.
When you step out of the shower, back when you were kind of living on your own, when you stepped out of the shower, did you automatically put jeans on?
No.
Yeah, I don't. I like grab my PJs because they're easier to put on.
And I wouldn't. I mean, like, I just can't imagine a scenario where she thinks she's going out again. You know, like, she might still be concerned. Maybe she is waiting for her boyfriend to come back. But for some reason, the fact that she, like, fully dresses, she puts on jeans, she puts on a shirt, she puts a shirt on over that shirt, she puts, like, 3 different necklaces on, a new set of earrings, she does her hair and her makeup again. And I am so certain that it is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Maybe she's one of those people who go to sleep with their makeup on?
No, maybe she's on amphetamines.
Okay.
It was the 80s. I mean, like, okay, sorry. Some people need to be on amphetamines. Please consult your doctor. Applauders.
I have one more little fact about Suzanne Snyder. In the same year that Killer Clowns from Outer Space came out, is another cult classic, Return of the Living Dead Part 2. And she played a girl named Brenda. She's the lead girl in that. If you remember, her boyfriend says to her, "I love you, Brenda. Now, why won't you let me eat your brains?"
I love that for her. I love that for her.
I love that she's not getting typecasted as Deb or Debbie all the time. Now she's a Brenda.
Yeah, totally, totally, totally different name.
Do you think Brenda's an upgrade from Debbie or a downgrade?
Have you ever met a Brenda?
Yeah, I would say it's a downgrade.
Dear plotters, if your name is Debbie or Brenda, please know that I know and love several Debbies and Brendas.
This last minute was nothing but a joke.
Yeah. Get at that. Ha ha.
She gets attacked by baby clowns in the mirror.
Do you really call them baby clowns?
I call them baby clowns, yeah.
I call them laundry basket popcorn sperm clowns.
same difference.
They look like it, right?
Yeah.
They're just a head on a little spermy body. And they're like, they look like the Little Shop of Horror, like head buds thing, or like miniature Beetlejuices when he's a snake.
Yeah. But they're in the laundry basket. One's in the toilet.
She shove the shower head down one of them's throat?
Here's the thing. Like Debbie is like pretty resourceful. She takes out the one on the toilet. She takes off the shower curtain and puts it over the laundry. The ones in the laundry basket. And then she rushes outside and she hears Mike at the door. And so what does she do? She opens up the door, but it's...
Oh, it's... I forget which clown it is. Hold on. I think it might be...
It's not Ronald. It's not Ronald McDonald.
No, I think it's Yellow Punk Mohawk Girl.
I don't know. I didn't write down the names.
I didn't write down. It might be Knob Redhead.
Yeah, I think it's that one.
Yeah, no, because that's why I think of him as like the lead bad guy, because mm-hmm. he snagged the girl. Yeah, yeah, it's Knob Redhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so he's like, you know, imitating Debbie's voice or Mike's voice.
So gross.
Yeah, and so she goes out. She runs away, opens up a window and looks down, and it's four of the clowns with one of those fireman catches.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And then she
backs. Seen in the movie Dumbo.
Yeah, exactly. And then she backs up and into a lead clown guy. And he lifts her up and throws her on the couch. And then he pulls out a gun and he puts her into a balloon with red polka dots.
That is correct. So he is spied by our hero and his doofus ice cream schmucks as he's getting into the car with the balloon. So then they pursue him. Cop car catches up with them, pursues them. Chase ensues. It's kind of at some point, the ice cream schmucks is like, oh no, a cop car is behind me, slams on the brake, and then the cop car slams into them. That's that whole sequence.
Right. And then they go ahead and the cop car doesn't work anymore, so they only can use the ice cream truck. Dave gets in and all four of them go off to see where they're going. And I don't remember who says it. I think Dave says, Mike's like, oh, we lost them. And Dave's like, that's okay. I think I know where they're going. Where are they going? And then you see them driving towards an amusement park.
Yeah, like the pier in the area with the giant Ferris wheel and the giant glowing clown tent.
Yeah.
Okay, but the clowns get there first, right? And they pull up to the funhouse. It's not called the funhouse, though, but I didn't write down what it's actually called. So it doesn't matter, because we cut to the bestest person in the entirety of the film.
The guard at the circus?
Yeah, David Peel, played by David Peel, is a brilliant actor. He reaches into his pocket and I think, oh God, another Lush in this film. What am I going to do with this, right?
He pulls out a sandwich.
In a little Ziploc baggie, like he made it for at home, or his wife or his partner made it for him at home. And he just goes to eat this sandwich when this clown car comes by. And then he puts the sandwich away. I don't think he has it in his hands anymore. The clown car pulls up. Five clowns get out in a...
It's the worst. It's the worst thing that you can do with a clown car gag. Like, they only have five. Like, it's a small car.
Yeah, but it's bigger than a Volkswagen Bug.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd expect there to be more clowns in it.
Right. So I was like, okay, so you obviously have this gag with clowns and you just don't do anything with it.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah,
it's garbage. But it's because of that mediocrity that David Peel, P-I-E-L. shines. He turns to them without being a jerk, without being a bigot, without being assumptive. He says, the park's closed, I'll have to ask you to leave. That's his whole line. He delivers it beautifully, at which point they pelt him with so many pies that he is crushed to the ground. His bones are, the flesh and sinew is seeped off of his bones from this pie. They march and do like little, okay, the little walks they do past him,
yeah,
it's pretty cute.
Yeah.
But then the last one in line is little Triceratops, who stops and gazes upon this mournful mound of this man whom I love. And he tilts his head thoughtfully and you think, what tribute shall he bring to this macabre and sorrowful situation? He pulls out a giant plastic red cherry and places it on top of what looks like a ice cream pile, and then tilts his head back and trudges into the funhouse. Oh, I wasn't waiting for the noise. I'm just feeling really sad about David Peel. I loved him so much.
The pies that he gets pelted with are really hot, and so they have steam coming off of them.
It's a heat thing, not an acid thing?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it could be both.
It melted his flesh from the bone.
I definitely saw like steam coming off, or like some sort of like smoke coming off of it. So maybe it was the acid like burning up the flesh, and the flesh was
It makes the ending of the movie better if you think it's acid.
Okay. I will say it's acid, and for whatever reason, there's heat coming off of it, probably because it's getting burned.
Yeah, when there's a chemical reaction, heat is released as entropy into the universe.
Right, so it's probably just like really hot. It's heat coming off of it. Yeah, so it's heat. It's not steam. It's not smoke.
Yeah, okay. So can they not turn off the music on this? Because we have scenes where they're in the ice cream truck and there's no music playing. Why did they pull in to the amusement park with the music blaring?
Because they're schmucks. ice cream schmucks.
You are correct.
In an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
So they do pull up. They see Mike sees the car that Debbie was taken away in, and but he doesn't see any balloon. And so they go. And so as Dave and Mike are looking at the car, Creep 1 and Creep 2 go to the pile, and one of them actually like puts his fingers into it.
No.
Yeah.
Because they think it looks like ice cream.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it, does he?
No. And Dave's like, hey, that isn't ice cream. It killed someone. That's when you see the skeleton hand next to the light.
Ew!
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And so they go into the funhouse.
So this is the one and only time that this movie attempts to become introspective. They spend about 2 minutes having these gentlemen walk past some beautifully painted set pieces. In what is, and you and I, and everyone here, applauders, knows, is the ship, not the actual funhouse. But also, it's decorated in what I'd like to say is late 1900s community theater style set work. So they're walking past all these dinosaur paintings. They're flats that have been cut into these shapes and then painted to look like dinosaurs. And then they're having this conversation that's like, did they come here? And that's why we have the concept of clowns? Or are they here disguised as clowns? And I oppose a third theory. My theory is that different species can develop similar traits and not be related at all because they have similar needs produced by the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you have birds all over the world. Did all birds come from the same bird? No. Right? Why are people who struggle with the idea of evolution, they're like, why do we have monkeys now if we have us now? And well, no, we have a common ancestor and we are in fact different things now.
Right. Like if you look at the evolution of an eyeball, it's one of those things where fish have eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
And it just is like one of those, it's one of those things that just makes sense from an evolutionary standpoint because it gives you the ability to see.
There's a fancy science word for correlated but not causated evolution, and I can't remember what it is, but I watch enough documentaries I should know. But if Sean, you want to let us know in Shock Talk, which may be a bonus episode following this in the next few weeks or never, but maybe.
Yeah.
So like,
no pressure.
Yeah. If you're subscribed, you'll know. If we ever come up with that scientific term, I don't know, but I know exists. Fantastic.
The important thing to know about this is the fact that one of the ice cream guys says maybe they were just hungry and they stopped here for a bite to eat. And everybody looks at him like he's stupid.
Except it's probably the best response.
Yeah.
Although mine is probably better.
Yeah.
It's the best in-movie response. But mine is better.
Okay. So they're tracking through this very dark area. They like press a button like Pippin in... In Moria,
are you making them into hobbits?
No,
I thought you were saying Pippin and Meriwether.
I said like Pippin in Moria. They just like touch something and then it.
Oh,
yeah,
that's acceptable.
And then like Gandalf in Moria, Dave's like, stop that.
Okay, fair.
I'm referencing a better movie.
Yeah. I can imagine Sean and Maddie listening to this right now, and Sean's like, hey, and Madeline's like, true. True. That's true. Okay. So is this where the ice cream schmucks fall?
Yeah, they fall through a trap door.
Into a ball pit.
Yeah. And then Dave's like, where'd they go? And Mike's like, don't worry about them. They always land on their feet.
Which is like, he's like,
okay.
You gotta move the plot somehow.
Right.
They're not standing up. They're in the ball pit. But as they struggle to stand up, there are two clowns sitting on the edge of the ball pit. Like the way that you would at the end of a dock in the summertime if you were trying to flirt with boys. It was never effective for me, but I spent a lot of time sitting on the edge of docks looking at boys having more fun than me and being like, oh, I didn't spend 45 minutes putting on this lip gloss. And picking out the two outfits I have in my suitcase.
Do you remember what one of them says?
No.
So one of the guys says to these clowns who look very feminine. I think at one point one of their boobs inflates
They do, in fact, comically inflate.
Yeah. And one of the guys says, are you Debbie's roommates?
Yes. What a dipshit. Yeah. They should have been around just for them to steal the van, and then they didn't need to exist anymore.
Agreed. So Mike and Dave are walking through, and Mike starts recognizing where they're at. They're apparently in the tent that Mike and Deb were in.
Which is actually the ship.
Right. And so Mike starts leading the way, and he leads Dave to the cotton candy room.
Yeah, that's a good way to. And so they're exploring around, and then the door starts to open. So they're like, oh, no, we have to hide.
Right. They're trying to find Debbie. They also make the comment that, oh, it looks like they got the entire town.
Yeah, there are thousands, presumably, of different cotton candy pods all over, just ball sacks hanging everywhere, just pink plumbuses hanging from the sky. Right. And so the clown that enters is whom we have dubbed maybe one of my favorite names. We've called him Trident Front Butt. And that is because his hair comes down his head in a triforce of like three prongs, right? Also, he is as floofy in the front portion as one would hope to be in the floofy of the back section. And by that, I mean, he's got junk in the trunk and junk in the front, like he was a Volkswagen Bug himself. So, front butt. You know what I mean? All right. His Mons goes all the way down to the floor in the front. There's no, he's just all butt. Front and back butt. Front butt.
Thoroughly sickened out now.
Yeah, and they hide. And when this clown comes in, he pulls out this extremely crazy straw.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, before he does that, he goes over to one of the cotton candy scrotums and he's like, you know, pressing it, tapping it, seeing if it's ripe. And so he...
like picking out a mango.
Yeah. And so he plunges the straw in there and he starts drinking people juice. And basically the one ice cream guy was right. You know, they're just here to feed on us.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Wait a minute. How to Serve Humans is a cooking book?
No. There's some old space dust on this. It's How to Serve for Humans.
Got it.
Silent Green is Debbie. I just wanted to participate.
Well, we don't know what Debbie, she was not getting turned into food.
My supposing is that she was going to be saved to be bread.
Okay, so this is very much a comic or a campy take on Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And the thing about Invasion of the Body Snatchers is that it definitely is like anxieties over the status quo getting disrupted on some level.
Okay.
Right. One of the anxieties of the status quo is getting disrupted is, okay, so have either of you heard of a movie called Birth of a Nation?
I've heard the name of it. I know I should watch it. I have not.
It's basically a movie that celebrates white supremacy. And there's a lot of racist stereotypes of black people during that time. And it was actually...
is this something I should watch or should
not? No, you should not watch it.
Oh, okay.
I was just asking...
Okay, then no. I'm glad I have... No.
Did I ask you if you've watched it?
No, you said, have you heard of it? Okay, Jen said yes. And I was like... Oh, it's a documentary that I haven't watched?
No, it is.
I mean, they exist. I just didn't. I was like, is this one I missed?
No. So,
okay, so we'll lock that in. Birth of a Nation. Maybe we skip that.
Part of the instigating, I mean, I have not watched Birth of a Nation, so feel free to take everything that I say with a very small, tiny grain of salt. What I'm saying is I believe that like the inciting incident of that movie is a white woman who is literally kills herself rather than potentially being raped by a black man. And it's not played by a black man. I want to make that clear. The guy who tries to rape her in the movie is a white man in blackface, because this is like early 1900s white supremacy bull right now. So when I talk about like, oh, Debbie's gonna be bred, and I think this is obviously a clear indication of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which has a lot of like anxieties over the status quo getting disrupted. that, like, I can't help but think of some of the racist talking points that were against Black people at the beginning of the 1900s and were like, oh, these clowns are coming in to breed with Debbie against her will.
I was thinking breeding food like livestock.
Oh,
I mean, to be fair, to your point, people bred Black people like livestock, and our history is bad in this nation. And if you're like, I don't feel bad about any of it, you haven't thought enough about it.
Right.
But I was just, I was in the comic universe of my brain, okay, thinking of them as like just future food.
I took it up to like,
like shelf stable, yeah, food. It's okay.
I took it on up this, to like an 11.
On this podcast, we often go there.
Yeah.
I yell a lot.
I thought you were making a reference to bread and circuses.
Bread and circuses?
It's the thing that keeps the masses at bay. It's referenced. I mean, it's like one of the, it's the Roman thing.
It's like the Roman version of, what was it, Stalin, who was just like, you're just three missed meals away from revolution or something like that?
No, you can do basically anything you want in your country, government-wise, as long as you are feeding and entertaining.
Oh, okay.
True.
Yeah.
Man, that's kind of like the whole clown thing.
Yeah.
I think Jen hit it a little bit.
No, that's what I thought Lydia was talking about when she's going to be bread. I thought she's like, bread and circuses?
No. Although, okay, so you could very easily, like, I guess you could say, because whenever I see Invasion of the Body Snatchers, or like when that's generally come up, there's always been these anxieties of things that are changing in the status quo, and the people who benefit from the way that everything is right now aren't necessarily going to benefit in like 10 or 20 years.
Like, fingers crossed.
It's just, that's kind of where my brain was going throughout this entire movie.
Look, what did we do to Santa Claus Conquers the Martians? Like, we took that to some real political places, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, like, it's fine, Lydia.
Okay.
This was not a race thing. The only real bad race stuff in this movie is poor Melvin.
Right.
Who got pigeonholed in that. At least
right.
He had a speaking line, mm-hmm, but not a real name.
Right. There's probably more jabs at, you know, or there's like nods to homophobia,
yeah,
with the way that gay punk rocker children were kind of portrayed.
Or like the way that men are continuously sexually aggressive in certain parts of this film. Like,
right.
Like just portrayed as like these it's a stigma that like reinforces over and over again that like you're either a miserable or you're a stud out to get some. And like that's the only two ways to be a man.
Right. But I don't think this movie was trying to do anything political. I think they were trying to, you
I don't
know.
Think this movie was trying to do much except for give us a good time. And
yeah.
But that's not who we are.
No, no.
So
no. That's why we only have like so many people checking out the
fine.
Podcast.
It's fine. I'm not apologetic about how I view the world. I'm glad that we're here to be able to have a discussion where we can bring it back from 11, knowing that there's no, I mean, for as much as I understood of it.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any bad air in
okay.
this room about
right,
it, right?
Right?
And that we can bring ourselves to resolution or at least common ground.
Right.
Without like f-ing off real hard.
Right.
Which this movie was not able to do between its combatants and its protagonists.
And also, Debbie is safe. She gets shot out of the balloon by Dave.
Jeez! So they find the balloon, right? And they start pounding on it. And there are shots of her inside like a hard balloon. And then like shots of them hitting it like a wibbly wobbly rubber balloon or latex balloon. And then there's... And Mike punches it and nothing happens. And then, except it wibble wobbles because it's the loose, the far away shot, right? And then... Motherfucking Dave pulls out his gun. He's like, hold on, I'll shoot. Does not tell her to get down. Does not tell Mike to get down. Simply shoots in a place that now we don't know what the security's like. We don't know how you're going to get found out. She falls to the ground and she's like, ah, I couldn't breathe in there. So it was probably good he got her out. But like with a gun, that's like, oh, I need to open these beans. You know what I'll use? That's me like loaded.
Yeah.
I can't. Can you do a better one? Load it like cock a gun. Yeah.
Or like, I need to turn off my TV. I might as well use the gun.
Right? Or like when Homer was like, I made a makeup applying gun. Hold on, hold still, Marge. And like shoots. Bad.
Yeah.
So it's too much. But he got there. And so now they're all like on the run, right?
Right. I dub this funhouse chase sequence. Because they go through the tent. And I think at one point Dave like shoots one of the clowns and they explode. And I mean, there were like two clowns there and only one of them got shot at. So I'm assuming the other one got exploded too. Yeah, because it seems like their noses are pretty fragile.
This is the point of my notes when I decided that all three of these people are terrible. And that if she really desires to have a relationship, a romantic relationship, she should just thruple up with both of them.
I honestly think Debbie could do better. My first thought when I saw this is, oh, yeah, they just need to have a three-way and they'll be fine. But I'm like, no, I think Debbie could do better because she's pretty resourceful. And outside of like the whole, oh, she gets kidnapped for some weird reason. They get stuck at during this chase sequence. They get stuck at a pole.
Yeah. Why did they pick her?
What?
Why did they pick her for kidnapping?
Nobody knows. Plot reasons?
Oh. She smelled of plot device.
Yes.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite perfume is plot device. You smell lovely. That smells like plot device to me.
So can I ask you a question? If they replaced Debbie with a sexy lamp, would it change anything?
No, not a damn thing.
Like, I mean, outside of the fact that she's the one who gets Mike to go up, and then she's the one who tells Mike to go to the police, and she knows someone at the police.
Yeah.
And, like, would, if Mike went up there by himself, and...
You think eventually somebody encountering an emergency situation would turn to emergency services?
Like, would Dave have gone out and done all of this if it wasn't Debbie? Would he be siding with Mooney? Like, oh, this is
No, he would have done something.
I think he would have.
Because he demonstrated that by standing up for my babies.
Mm-hmm.
My goth babies.
I think he would have done something.
Dead so long ago.
Yeah. So I think you could very easily replace Debbie with a sexy lamp.
Say warm compress. Nice knit sweater.
Three necklaces.
Oh, yeah. You could...
80s Ugg boots.
Yeah, like a pair of leg warmers. A little out of style, but still very nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, Debbie.
She's just poorly written because she's written by men.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Write better.
Seriously. Okay. I mean, I know it's only 1988.
Yeah. You haven't had women around that long, so I suppose... I suppose you didn't have anything to reference.
So they eventually get to this place where there's just like door after door after door.
But don't miss the fireman's pole gag, because that's where he shoots one of them in the nose.
Mm-hmm. And then Debbie goes down first, and then Mike.
She's like, I'm not getting back in a balloon, and she jumps on the pole and goes down. But they stop just before, so they stop at one floor and they get off on because they're all expert pole dancers, I guess. But they stop and then they do one shot of like further down the hole and this thing like Sarlacc. Like Sarlacc's up and it's and they're like, glad we didn't go any further. And then they go to the small door gag.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they get through this very, very tiny door. It's like one door after another door and they're progressively getting smaller. And so
more Willy Wonka bullshit.
Right. And so they get through the door and then like Debbie takes the shotgun from Dave and like sticks it into the door so the clowns can't come through. But it's meaningless. They're in this completely open area and then eventually they get surrounded by clowns.
Yep. I call this the main room where they are mobbed to center stage by an additional... Oh, here's where all of the clowns show up. And do you want the list of clown names now? Because this is kind of their finale.
I mean, you put so much effort into it. I feel like if I don't read you
all of these clown names in lore order, this godforsaken community theater blocked out stage that they're all like angelical cats are from with all their stupid puffy weapons. You know what I mean? Okay, in order, minus the final one, these are my names for all of the clowns that are now coalescing around these guys, minus the ones who have already been shot, but they're still on the list, so I'm going to read them anyway. We have Yellow Punk Mohawk, Ronald McDonald, Red Liberty Spikes, Little Triceratop, Large Triceratop, Jabba the Redhead, Candy Graham Redhead Mohawk, Knob Redhead, Rainbow Bullcut, Trident Front Butt, Boobs McGee, Grenade, which we did not explain. Pink Liberty Spikes, Blue Clown Fro, Green Clown Fro. Second part of the list is on a different sheet. Followed by Punk Skunk, which is a blue and green combination. Yellow Clown Fro, Green Mohawk, Blue Reverse Widow's Peak. That's a personal favorite. Blue Mullet, Purple Mullet, Hot Pink Receding Hairline, Orange Top Pony, Shadow McGillicuddy, I think that was yours, Halo Crown Fro, and then the last one is yet to be discovered.
It. Do you remember Muppet Treasure Island when they're doing the roll call on the ship?
Dead Tom.
Rio Dead Tom.
He's dead.
Are you going to explain Grenade?
Okay, so just because I'm all for women doesn't mean I don't say problematic things sometimes. The two lady grenade, the two lady clowns, they're the only female presenting clowns that we see. One has boobs, like balloons that blow up, and the dumb guy on the right stares at those.
And her name is Boobs McGee.
Boobs McGee. And then the girl on the left doesn't have boobs that grow, which is funny because you think that, you know, double your pleasure, right? But I was talking to Lydia about it, and I was like, oh, she must be the grenade. And Lydia's like, I'm not familiar with that term. And then I'm like, well, that's the ugly friend at the bar that your friend submits to hitting on or going home with so that everyone else can hit on the hotter friends. And she thought that was terrible. I agreed that was terrible. I still put it on the list, and I'm sorry. I don't think it's right. God knows I've been the grenade. So take that for what you will.
Thank you for explaining.
Cut out as much as you'd like and put in as many of these as you need. I'm so sorry. Please. I love women. I really do. Women rule. This whole thing sucks. Like, it's a frat thing. I think it's like a thing, and it has nothing to do with that one song, I'd Catch a Grenade for You, although that would be a lot more funny.
So I'm going to talk to any women out there who are listening. And if you go to a bar with your friends and you feel like two guys are being very pushy in their, you know, wanting to interact with you, just one of you ask, okay, so which one of us is the grenade?
And oh, they would melt.
And just see how they react.
You know what I would do if I was with a girlfriend and we were getting hit on? I think all women are beautiful. So I would like one of you. It doesn't matter which one. Could be the like more dolled up one. I'm often the not dolled up one. So I assume I am also. Okay. But have one of you suggest that you finish the evening and do nothing else. And the stronger they fight you on it, the more you should stick up your middle finger and be like, no. If you're like, oh, I think I'm going to go home. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Or, oh, that sucks. I wish you'd stay out more. But then leaves it at that. Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, you can leave it by the road for me. You know what I mean?
Ugh.
So they get surrounded by all these clowns.
Angelical clowns are here to say that angelical clowns look different ways with red mohawks and green afros, and we are here to kill you, hoes.
That was great. That was great. The thing that they crawled out of with the doors is actually like this platform. So they get up on the platform, and then as they're like fighting to keep away from the clowns, why don't they just aim for the noses? I mean, all of these clowns have some sort of implement in their hand. You could grab that from them. Maybe not because they're super strong, but you could, like, you know, I don't know. You like, you know, their weakness. It's their big red nose. Why not do something with
they
that?
They kick, like one of them kicks one in the head, and you think that was effective, so you should do that more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in this moment of direness in this movie, it goes ahead. You have they have something crash through this side of the wall, and it turns out to be the ice cream truck with the creeps in there, and they got all these big lipstick marks on their face.
Yeah, I call them snoo snoo marks.
They also got all these ripped clothes. Like, I mean, I don't think that they were unwilling. They seem like very consenting.
They said nothing wrong.
Yeah,
they said nothing bad about their experience.
Right,
they are hollering into their speaker with their light up clown head, right? And mostly they're just like, oh baby, I am your god now, or right. Whatever.
They're like, we are JoJo and you need to leave them alone. And so all the clowns stop. Uh-huh. And it gives Mike, Debbie, and Dave a chance to get into the
they
ice cream
truck. Walk right past them all, right? And I'm like, convenient.
Yeah.
And then they start to aggress towards them, like the clowns are broken out of the spell or whatever. Or are they frozen until the thing?
They're pretty well frozen, but when everybody collects into the ice cream truck, they're trying to start it and it's not working. And then we start seeing something come down.
Mm-hmm.
The clown on the ice cream truck is trying to be like Alpha Clown, but really it's not Alpha Clown. There's another Alpha Clown.
Yes, all of the little, by comparison clowns, scurry away like little cockroaches, which
right.
I think is super fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then this thing comes down with strings like marionette. like, and it comes to the top of the platform that they had been standing on, convenient that they're no longer on it,
mm-hmm.
and it rips off all of the strings. And okay, fun fact, this clown is played by one of the Chiodis.
Is it
Chiodos?
Oh, it's not played by Doug Jones?
No, I wish. Aww. If it was Doug Jones, I would not have any qualms with this movie. I would give it a full pass.
I think it's Charles Chiodi.
Chiodo,
yes.
I just like that one of the executive producers got in there. Like, good for you.
Yeah.
This entrant into our fray is known with the last clown name I will list for you, Clownzilla, the King Clown.
You're actually correct. That's how he is in the listing.
I got it off IMDb. I couldn't help myself. I was just looking because they were all listed. I didn't look at a wall, but like they were like listed as clown players or whatever on the IMDb page. And then at the end of it, there's no picture and it's just like Clownzilla. And I was like, oh, I know who that is. Sorry, I didn't mean to bust your Sean fact.
No, it's not a Sean fact. It was just me.
That was a Jen fact?
I was just asserting your correctness.
Oh, women supporting women. Okay.
So Clownzilla goes after the ice cream clown, rips off the head from the truck, and then picks up the truck. And at this point, Dave, Mike, and Debbie are out, but the two creeps are still in there. And so it picks up the truck, and it throws it like it's nothing, like it's made out of cardboard.
It explodes really good.
Yeah.
I will tell you, Jen, that I did have a name for that creature, and it was Tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I considered the name Biggins.
Yeah.
But Tiny for Sean for his birthday. Happy birthday, Sean.
Then the clown comes after all of the Mike and Debbie and Dave. And Dave makes his sacrifice with his gun that he's not just shooting it at the nose. I don't know why. Anyways, moving on.
He's like, you guys escape. I'll stay here and die for you.
Because there's this hole from the truck and they can get out through there.
Yeah, but he's got to distract the Clownzilla from like killing them so that they can escape. So he runs the opposite way. Why didn't he just fire the gun and run through the hole?
Why didn't he just fire it at the nose? Like, he has a gun. There's a nose. It's a giant. It's not.
It gets more dramatic. So
more dramatic.
Yeah. So my notes just say with an exclamation point, shoot it in the nose. Don't self-sacrifice. It can get really like overdone watching people like be like, oh, I'll walk into the fire. There was this one zombie reality show where it was like a zompocalypse, except like there were no zombies and you were just doing survival things on this little compound, and they survived and were about to end the series, and this one guy, and they're driving down a canal in California, one of those dry drainage beds that they've got, and the one guy is on a motorcycle and he turns to the side and he's like, now here's the thing, and he's like, I'm gonna stay and look for survivors and take care of people in the city, right? He turns around on his motorcycle, goes back. This is a reality TV show. He was not an actor. He was just like, no, I'm going to stay. And he wanted it to be like this character point for himself. And so like ever since then, when somebody's like, no, I'm going to stay, I'm like, did you have to? Did you have to? Or were you just showing off how f-ing nice you are? I don't like it. I don't like it. If you don't have to, that hole was huge.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them could have gone through that hole.
Right.
Okay, that's all. I'll stop.
He could have also just shot it in the nose, like as soon as it came close enough. Like,
he was maybe out of bullets at this point. Well, he was shooting up until just now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't see how he would have known that shooting it would have dissolved everything, which is what ultimately happens, because Mike and Deb go out of the tent and then the cavalry's coming in.
Yeah, they pull up just in time to do jack shit because the ship is already taking off.
Right. And Dave gets grabbed by Tiny, and then but he doesn't have any bullets left. And so he like struggles his hand out and he pulls off his badge and it has to be a pin, and yeah, the nose has to be a balloon.
Yes.
And then he shoves the pin into the balloon nose.
Yes.
And then everything just explodes.
Well, remember when he picked him up in his big Godzilla hand?
Yeah, from
far
just,
away.
It's a Ken doll.
It's a Ken doll with like bad, hot, like highlighted hair like his is. Oh my God. It was so bad. I was like, oh, come on. Okay.
Attention to detail, though.
I mean, yeah. Yes. They could have like fully like had him like turn away, so
right,
like you couldn't see that he was holding something in his hand. That would have worked too.
Mm-hmm.
But stabbed him in the nose, popped right. the thing. He explodes. Mm-hmm. He spins, explodes. And for some reason, that makes the ship spin and explode.
Right.
It was already spinning.
Yeah.
But then it exploded.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, no, all those people in there. Except, yes, all of those people in there are dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the clown car that flew out of the ship somehow and landed right next to where everyone was standing.
Yeah, it didn't land on anybody.
No. And they're all like staring at it, waiting for the clowns to come out and kill all of them, which would have been hilarious. And would have been a great time to rectify the clown car situation.
Okay, so
from earlier,
the first gag with the clown car is you only got five coming out. What I would have done for this moment is something I'm going to explain for my shocked and applaud.
Oh, okay, cool. So, but what happens is, cop Dave pops out, and they're like, "What?" And he's all like, "Yeah." And then they're like, awesome. And then as they're standing next to the car, then also another door opens on the car that you didn't know was there before. And then like the two schmucks pop up and they're like, we saw you blow up in the ice cream van. And they're like, we hid in the cooler. And then they eat popsicles and they're covered in glittering snoo-snoo marks. And they're just terrible human beings. And then they go back into the car because they always land on their feet, even if it's like in a clown car or something. And they're like, the three of them, who should be a thruple, are like, oh, we all survived. Isn't that great? Ignoring the fact that like upwards of like 2,000 people have died on the ship with mm-hmm. those other 14, 15 clowns or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't count how many I have marked. They might be wrong. But like they laugh and laugh. And then like the ending, the absolute ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go ahead.
So they're just standing there and they're like, oh, everything's fine. And then they get pelted with pies.
Yeah, everything's going to be fine now. And they get hit with three different pies.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I wanted to know if they're acid or just hot, mm-hmm. right? I guess if you had enough hot pies thrown at you, you could melt. They didn't do a Mythbusters on it. I don't know. But like, if the pies are made of acid, there's a very good chance, depending on the severity of the acid, that you could melt. And so I like to think as they end on, is it a freeze frame? Do they end on a freeze frame?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. So as the movie ends on a freeze frame of them covered in pie, I'd like to think that their bodies are starting to melt and they are dead now. And that's why when the guy's like, do you think they'll come back? And they're like, I don't think so. Or like, we'll be ready or whatever throwaway line they put on it when they get hit with pies. That was when they were like, thin, you know, I'll take that.
Right.
All in favor of them being melted with acid pies, say here.
Here, here.
Here.
Fantastic. The motion passes. They are dead.
And that's the end of the movie. Roll credits. You hear the theme song going and credits and nothing special outside of just, you know, anybody we want to mention in the credits.
No, I already mentioned that Melvin was mm-hmm. listed as the black biker, and that's the only really gross thing I caught. And I was hoping they'd do fun things in there. They thank a lot of people in Santa Monica, so it's obviously California. So our whole debate about where the hell it is moot.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Do we have any more Sean facts?
We do.
Oh, is one of them that the ice cream truck is made out of whatever they make black boxes out of?
Because it just doesn't die.
That's,
yeah.
No, it's fine.
It's made out of small puppy dog. It was a Red Dwarf reference. Whenever a ship had crashed, they noticed that the only thing that would survive was a small, cute dog. So they made the Starbug out of the same thing. Dave was joking. And Kat said, really? And Dave says, Kat, you're so gullible. All right. The Chiodo brothers planned on creating a sequel to the film, with the initial release date being scheduled for 2012. Though it's been in production hell for some time. They've also thought of different ways to develop a TV show, and they pitched the idea of having Mike be this old crazy guy that he tells the town that there were like killer clowns coming and nobody will believe him. And he's supposed to have this sort of Doc McBrown energy to him. And then they come
back. Bruce Campbell already did it.
Yeah.
Evil Dead was good.
All right.
Ash versus the Evil Dead was good.
Horrorcore rap group The Insane Clown Posse sampled dialogue from this film for The Staleness on their 2002 Joker's Card album, The Wraith Shangri-La. That's a lot of words I didn't think I was going to say next to each other. The movie originally ended with the Terenzi brothers as the survivors of the exploding spaceship while Dave perished after killing the giant clown. But since the executive needed an upbeat ending, the Chiodo brothers filmed a second ending that is in all the versions where Dave and the Terenzi brothers survive the exploding spaceship by hiding in the clown car. And...
I mean, I could have had them dead. Art house films.
Often featured in either scare zones or as a haunted house at Universal's theme parks Hollywood Horror Nights celebrations in October. So this is a Universal Studios thing.
You can just go see it?
Apparently in October, they've got a Hollywood Horror Nights celebration and they've got like maybe like a haunted house sort of deal or something.
I'm down. Let's go.
It made over 200% of its budget back, so...
Yeah. And also on that note, last year, Spirit Stores had a special Killer Clowns section. It was
They do be doing that, though.
Yeah. That's it. That's it from Sean.
All right. So shall we shocked or applaud first?
Applauders, this is the part. Or brand new applauders. Baby applauders. My baby goth applauders. My baby goth applauders that I love so much. This is the part where we tell you what shocks us. And that could be in a good or a bad way, but it inspires extreme emotion, right?
Right.
So, something that you applaud. Generally, that would be positive, but like, yeah, be creative with your answers, and let's see where we go.
All right. Well, my shocked moment was the bad clown car joke. It needed you. Okay, so there are two moments with the clown car. The first one is where they're outside the funhouse. They kill who was the guard's name?
Peel. That's David Peel.
David Peel. They kill David Peel before that, but there's only like five that come out of the car. And it's like, okay, so that's not a really good, like the whole bit of a clown car is that it's a tiny car and there's all these clowns that come out of it. And yeah, yeah. So there, but there's only five. So it's like, I mean, they're relatively large clowns, but how much funnier would it have been if they had all come out? Now, the second one is when the clown car is the saving grace for the Terenzi brothers and Dave. What I suppose is you have this clown car and you have the first joke and you just have the one clown come out. And then you have like that one clown just pelt the guard with all these different pies. So you have like, okay, so you have the setup of like, you know, a clown car coming over and you're like, oh, it's going to have like more than one clown. And it doesn't. It just has the one.
Yeah, but then you overgo.
But then at the end, when the car comes in, you have the actual joke of that. And it's where everybody in the town is coming out of the car.
Yes.
And then you, and like, to me, that seems like a missed opportunity.
Like an ultimate happy ending.
Right.
If you're going to submit to needing a happy ending.
You might as well just have this big old cast call come back and, you know, you get everybody coming in.
Or have them run in a circle and come through the line again.
Right.
Like a, what are that one... vaguely racist Dr. Seuss book, you know, where they all have stars and no stars.
Right. So it just feels like that was kind of a missed opportunity. And it was like, come on, you got a clown car. You got to do something with it. And I don't feel like they did anything with it.
All right. I mean, my shock is like less awesome because I haven't been feeling well lately. Right. So like I started watching it this morning. I was like, OK, you've got to watch it. Because you're going to watch it again, because I like to watch it twice, because I get more bang for my buck, right? I desperately did not like this while I was alone. My notes, until I went through and, like, fixed some of them, were, like, just, like, come on! And, bah! And, like, I can't believe that's happening! And, like, ooh! But then, like, when you came down and were like, okay, let's watch it, and I was like, okay, like... The whole, and I don't, maybe it's merely the joy of your presence.
Aw.
I mean, Jen was doing computer stuff on the other side of the room, so it was hard to engage you a little bit about it, and that's fine. But like having somebody to like laugh with, like this, I'm sure I've said it before, but like some movies are not meant to be watched alone in a little vacuum, right? I and as a person who binges a lot of TV and videos and movies and stuff, like I like watching things alone. I will laugh out loud to myself if I find it funny. This movie, I was not having that luck with. And I was like, I've done all the things that normally get me like into stuff. Like I had a snack. I took my medicine. I drank my water. I like walked around for a little bit. I said hello to people. I petted my cat. I should be ready to watch a movie. And I watched 3/4 of it alone. And I was like, this is not great. And that's my shocked. I did not like watching it alone. And which and that leads me directly to my applaud moment, which is watching it with somebody else is so much better. Oh my God. I know. I'm sorry, Jen, we'll get to you. But like, I was like, this blows. And then when I started watching it with you and we could banter a bit and we paused it and checked things and we were like going back and forth, it went from being like, I was feeling like 25-30%, which is pretty good. But like, this should like tick off like a billion boxes for me. It should be like, oh, it's a horror movie. It's a sci-fi movie. It's campy. It's like I listed those all before. I should have been like super up there, but it was only hitting 25-30% out of 100. I was with you. I was like, oh, this is 75-85% proof. This is real good. I like this. I like this enough that I would watch it again. And I've watched it twice.
That's valid, because the first time I saw this, I watched it with Leota. And that's where I got the line cotton candy scrotum, which is like on every page of my notes at some point. It's like, oh, lady in lingerie meets clowns with pizza, candy cotton scrotum.
Candy scrotum.
Yeah, because it's so much better with other people.
Yeah. Did mom say that?
Yeah. Well, she said, I said it looks like candy coated candy cotton balls. And she was like, scrotum.
Okay, Jen, what's your shocked or your plot or both? I guess I'm sorry, I didn't mean to dump them both.
I would redo this as an R-rated movie, maybe. But then again, that box office is due, I bet, a lot from it being a PG-13. It was probably one of the first movies I can think of. Well, it was in the 80s, so that was like the first decade that we had PG-13 movies. But I think that the reason that it made so much money was because a 16-year-old could borrow their mom's car or dad's car and get a whole bunch of teenagers into that car, go into the drive-in and watch it together and not have to worry about people hiding in like the trunk in order to get in because they're the wrong age. They might still do it for, you know, monetary reasons, but yeah, I think that this would have been, you know, a huge drive-in hit, but it would have also been kind of cool to see like an unrated version happen. And they didn't really do that kind of thing back then. You had one direction and that's all you got. But today, if it was, you know, done again and it was going to go out into the regular theaters, you might do like an R-rated and then, you know, a DVD Blu-ray version or a streaming version that's unrated. Probably it would just hit streaming. It probably wouldn't get into the theaters.
It's a dark one. I think Netflix could probably do it. But I think Netflix could do anything with enough time and money.
They were going to do their second one in 3D, which I thought would have been pretty...
It's still there. It's just in hell.
Yeah. So that's my shocked, is that it really, for a title like Killer Clowns, maybe you don't need an R movie, but the killer part of it kind of tends to make me think that there should have been more slashing going on. Could have done a little bit more gruesome effects. Coulda. My applaud is that, pardon the expression, this is a good popcorn movie. Like, there isn't much to think about. Sean's last selection was Houssou, and you really had to think through the layers of what was going on in that movie. And for this one, technically I didn't watch it all the way through with you guys. I, you know, would go off to the computer or be, you know, back in a couple of minutes, but I still felt like I was in it. I was able to catch up and I wasn't missing anything huge. So I really greatly appreciate us being able to hop into something that isn't so mentally exhausting.
Yeah, it would definitely, I mean, to reinforce my own point. Sorry. The second I was out of my head and with somebody else just enjoying it, it became an incredibly better movie.
Yeah. You don't have to be cerebral with this one. And so that's it.
Do you want to know what my applaud moment was?
Yes. Thank you for being patient with us.
Two words. Balloon dog.
Yay. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to end it. Right. Yes, balloon dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it was adorable. I loved it. And it was just a cute little gag. And I kind of wish all of the gags were like that. Like they tried to. Uh-huh. But, you know, I feel like the balloon dog succeeded like better than all of the others. So.
It really did. And it was like such a great little bite. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, you did it, plotters. You made it through April. Yeah. It's getting warmer.
Oh, finally, all those flowers that started like a month ago. Maybe the pollen's calmed down by now a bit. Shoo.
Yeah.
Or it's just kicking in to high gear.
Hey, if you had a birthday this month, happy birthday. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
I think more than we say it a lot, especially here. We should say it more to your face. But we like you and we appreciate you. and all the other applauders who needed to hear that for sure. Applauders. Thanks for being with us through this journey. It's been quite a trip. Thanks for you two specifically for your editing expertise. Applauders, thank you for being here and lending us your ears. thanks for editing that out too. Until next time, I'm Naomi McQuaid.
I'm Lydia Malcolm.
I'm Jen McQuaid.
And this is Shocked and Applaud. Thanks for listening.
Congratulations, Applauder. If you're hearing this message, you've survived our three-part walkthrough of the 1988 cult horror sci-fi comedy, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Looking for some other great film discussion podcasts? Review It Yourself gives you film, TV, and documentary plot, trivia, and waffles. Host Sean brings you takes on films he has never seen before or hasn't seen in a while. And Cinematic Underdogs is a heady, nostalgic, trivia-filled podcast dedicated to sports movies. Check out links to these great shows in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and that American that calls cotton candy candy floss but has never been outside of America, Jen. It takes an incredible amount of time and dedication to weave all these words together into something tasty every week. So I'd like to personally thank Lydia for editing this entire episode. I really appreciate her help finishing the work during these recent busy weeks at my day job. We'll be taking a short break, and we'll be back May 10th for our next episode. And, spoiler alert, it's the first time in our nearly 4 years running that we'll be discussing a television show. We can't wait to hear your feedback as we venture into new formats for our peculiar, full, scene-by-scene walkthroughs. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay!
Oh, that's not the clown one.
I know.
The clown one is Oh gosh, it's the tent is the tent one. Like, no, you got baby. I can't remember the clown one when I've got baby elephant walk in my head.
I think March of the Gladiators.
No, that's almost it.
Yeah. All that's in there now.